The saints of God at Philippi were very concerned over the condition of the Apostle Paul. And within the heart of the Apostle Paul, he recognized that they would be concerned about his condition. And in the heart of the Apostle Paul, he was concerned about the brethren and their attitude and their condition at Philippi. And after he had gone into his prayer in Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11, then he immediately begins to explain unto them his condition at this particular time. Begin reading with me at verse 12 and read through about verse 14. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I think as you examine these few verses, you will find that first of all, that he is emphasizing the thing that had been happening unto the Apostle Paul. Notice in verse 12, but he said, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, underscore the word things. I think he's talking about in reality more than just being in prison. I think that he has in mind the experiences and the many other things that happened to him as well as being cast into prison. And the Apostle Paul is wanting the saints of God at Philippi to know about the thing that have happened unto him. He's wanting to tell them these things. And when you stop and consider the things that Paul had in mind, it cannot but touch your heart. When I looked at this and I thought about a man being in prison and being in chains, I thought about it might have gone through his mind, what am I doing here in prison? I've not done anything that is worthy of this. And you find that here was a man that was simply in prison because he had done nothing more than preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and stand and practice the truth of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, it talks about a man suffering as a result of his own sins, as a result of being an evildoer or a murderer or a gossiper or tending to other men's affairs. But the Apostle Paul had not been placed into prison for any violation of this type of a law. He had been placed in prison for nothing more than preaching Jesus Christ and turning the world upside down with the glorious message of God. So I'm sure that it might have been going over in his mind, why am I having to be put into prison when I've not violated any particular civil statute? Then I would imagine there was another thing that might have been going on in his mind, and that's why is it taking so long to get all of this settled? Now, it may not seem long to some of us who read the Bible, the Word of the Lord, but if you'd have been in the Apostle Paul's condition and gone through one judge after another, and appearing before one magistrate after another, then you would begin to say, well, I wonder why it's taking them so long to settle this matter. Surely in some way they could get this over with and I could be released and I could go on my way. I believe there were many things involved when Paul said, let me tell you about these things that happened in my chain. But then you know there's something else. I wonder if we really appreciate the fact that Paul was in prison. And you know, we begin to wonder sometime when we talk about Paul having liberty and that he was able to do certain things when he was in prison, and that he had the liberty to do many things. But now let me tell you something about the liberty that Paul had. The liberty that he had was not what we sometimes describe it. He was not free to go everywhere and do everything that he wanted to do. Turn with me to the book of Acts and chapter 28 and look at verse 16. In verse 16 he said, now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoner to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself. Now if it had stopped there where he was able to dwell by himself and be free to do what he wanted to do would have been one thing, but it said, dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. I am of the persuasion that this soldier stayed with Paul wherever he went. And did you ever think about the pressure that put the man of God under? How would you like to have someone going with you everywhere you go and listening to every word you had to say? And here was this man that was chained, no doubt, to the Apostle Paul and guarded this man. And wherever Paul went, here was this guard that could go with him. I can appreciate the pressure that man was under. I can feel the pressure that he was under. You know, sometimes we kind of get a little disturbed when we have certain men to follow us around, and they're always trying to entangle your speech, and they might jot down something you've said, and they can misquote you on, and that puts a lot of pressure on you. But here's a man that everywhere he goes, this guard goes with him, and he listens to every conversation that he has. And I'm sure that Paul could feel the pressure of this man being with him. And then I've also thought about something else in regard to Paul. Here was a man that liked to be on the go. Here was a man that enjoyed traveling. Here's a man that wanted to go on one journey after another, preaching the Word of God. And now then he finds himself in prison. Kind of like putting a tiger in jail. Here's this man of God wanting to go declare the Word of God, but he is in prison. You know, I don't know how many times I've read about Paul being in prison, and I would talk about it, and I would preach about it, and I'd read the Scripture, but I'm made to wonder how many times that I just sit down and visualize that man of God really being in prison, and then put Robert Jackson in his position. What would it be like to be in prison? And I want to tell you something, my friend. It was not an easy place. In Philippian letter, you will find that Paul in prison. In the book of Acts in chapter 16, when he was in Philippi, and verse 23, that they had beaten him with many stripes. They had cast him into the dungeon. And I don't know if you've ever felt a prison door shut behind you or not, leave you in that. That is a terrible feeling within itself. So now then, Paul is writing to the saints of God at Philippi and said, I'm going to inform you of the thing that happened unto me. Now in the letter, we do not find everything that happened to Paul. In the Philippian letter, Paul did not go into detail as to every little event that took place. But I'm sure that the messenger of the letter was able to tell the saints of God at Philippi something that took place that Paul did not reveal in this letter. To let them understand the conditions and the trial and the suffering and the tribulation that this man of God went through. Then in the life of the Apostle Paul, keep in mind that this did not happen upon just one occasion. But in the life of Paul, he was in trials and tribulations and in prison many times. Read with me in the 2 Corinthians letter and chapter 11. And if you will, you might begin at verse 23 when he talked about in deaths often. And you know, it doesn't take long to read that, but you stop and think about it. Paul said, in death often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day, and I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. And then if you'll drop down to the latter part of it, in perils among false brethren. Here is a man of God that has been put into prison. He has been beaten with stripes. He didn't go through it just one time. He went through it many times. And the saints of God at Philippi are concerned about him, and Paul is writing to them to tell them his condition. Now the question can be raised. Could the Apostle Paul become a despondent man? Could it be that the Apostle Paul would be depressed and be discouraged? I am of the persuasion that the Apostle Paul was like any other man. Even though he was an apostle, as brought out in another lesson, it did not remove their tendencies to feel like the rest of us feel. And I am of the persuasion that from the teaching of the Word of God, that upon time that the Apostle Paul was depressed, that he was what we would call despondent. Read with me as you have your Bibles in the 2 Corinthians letter and chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, listen to him carefully now. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now notice that statement, struck down, perplexed. I cannot but believe that when a man of God was in that condition that you might say he was a little bit down. I think he might have been depressed. I doubt if the Apostle Paul, if you'd have been living at that day and time, and you would have found him day in and day out with the stripes on his back, and you'd have walked by and said, "What kind of a day are you having, Paul?" I doubt if he'd have said every day, "It's a fantastic world we're living in. Isn't it a wonderful day we're living in? Let's all just join hands and express our feelings about it." I just kind of have a feeling that when Paul said he was down, but not destroyed, when he was perplexed, but yet not in despair, I believe that I can see in the writings of that man that he was down just a little bit. He was depressed. But open your Bible to the Galatian letter. In the Galatian letter, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints of God, he makes another statement that gives this thought to my mind. Read with me now in verse 9 of Galatians chapter 6. He said, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Now, when you read that, listen to what Paul is saying. Do you listen to the word when he said in verse 9, "us"? Underscore that little word, "us." That included Paul. Paul said, "Let not us grow weary." Paul, you mean to tell me that you could become weary, that you could become tired? You mean to tell me that you could be despondent, that you could be depressed? Why, Paul said, "Brethren, I'm not warning you about something that's not a warning to myself. Let us not be weary in well-doing." And then did you hear what he said in the latter part of that verse? He said, "We shall reap if we do not lose heart." We do not lose. He included himself. Paul said, if a man is not careful, he can lose heart under conditions like I'm going through, or under the conditions like you're going through. Many a man, like in the position that the Apostle Paul was in, might have quit preaching. I've heard some of my brethren sometimes say, "Well, there was a time when I preached, but I quit it. I got out of it." Why? "Well, I got depressed. I got tired of listening to the brethren. I got tired of everything not going just right. And I just decided that I'd just give it all up." Well, what happened to that individual? He became depressed, he was despondent, and he reacted to it by giving it up. And I think the important thing for us to learn this morning is this: that when the trials and the troubles come, and they will come, the real issue is how we react under those conditions. Now, what Paul is telling the brethren at Philippi, he did not hide from them that he was in prison, and he did not hide from them that he was suffering, as that can be brought out later on. He wanted them to understand the trials and the tribulations he was going through, but he also wanted them to know his reaction. He wanted them to understand that even though he was going through a lot of trouble and might even be despondent or depressed, still he did not quit. The reaction of the Apostle Paul is the cure for being despondent and not quitting. Now then, when you read your Bible, the Word of God, you'll find that some of the greatest men in the Bible became discouraged. I think I've brought to your mind that the Apostle Paul could be in that number, but I believe there were some other men. I doubt if there's any man, a man that you could identify as any stronger than a man by the name of David. And yet when you read the life of David, you'll find that time and time again, he was down. There were things he didn't understand. Look at the 13th Psalm. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" Look at that statement. "Having sorrow in my heart daily, how long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Can you not see in the words of this man of God that he was despondent? He could not understand why God did not answer him immediately, why God did not hear him. And he is making that plea, and at least you have to admit one thing, the man of God was honest. But now then, as you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 55. And in the 55th Psalm, I want you to read verse 6 with me. And this is one of the most touching verses in the Bible, the Word of God. The psalmist said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." Now, if you think that man was not troubled and bowed down, you better read that verse again. He said, "I'd give anything if I could just sprout the wings of a dove and I'd just fly away and I'd get away from all of it." I'm not sure that I understand all the condition that David was in at this time. He was the king of Israel and he had a lot of responsibilities. He was the leader of the people of God with grave responsibilities. His home life had begun to decay. His children were beginning to have internal strife. And the man of God said, "I'd just like to get away from every bit of it." He said, "I'd like to get out of all of it." I think that you'd find that this man of God, David, was in what you would call a despondent time. Men of God, great men of God, went through a lot of days like this. But now let me call to your attention another prophet of God. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. In the book of Habakkuk, this man of God was another one that didn't understand a lot of things, and I'm sure that he was depressed. Beginning at verse 2, I want you to listen to what he said. "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity?" Now watch it. "And cause me to see trouble." Well, can you not feel the heart of that prophet of God when he said, "Why is it, God, that you allow me to see all the trouble I'm going through? Why is it, God, that you allow me to see the trouble and the plundering and the violence before me?" But look again. "There is strife and contention arises." Why, he said, "Why is it, Lord, that you let me see all the strife and the division? The law is powerless and justice never goes forth." Can you not see in the heart of that man of God that was prophesying to the people of God that he had some things he was concerned about, some things he did not understand? And he said, "God, why is it that you allow me to have this trouble?" I believe that David, I believe that Habakkuk, I believe that Paul, I believe that great men of God went through some times when they were despondent and troubled. And I do not believe that every day in their life that they lived that it was a great day. You know, I'm reminded of what Elijah said in 1 Kings chapter 19 and about verse 10 when he said, "I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left that's not bowed down to idolatry." And sometimes when you get that feeling that you're the only one left means you're down and you're kind of discouraged. "Why me, Lord? Why am I the only one left?" Can you not feel that even though the man was wrong, he still had that feeling? I've had some people say, "Well, a child of God ought not to get depressed. A child of God ought not to be despondent." My friend, a child of God ought not to fall from grace, but he can. And a child of God ought not to be depressed, but he can. And I believe that if all of us are honest, that we will admit that many times we are depressed. To give you some examples, I don't see how a mother and father can go through life without having some days that are lower than other days. Now, if your children have been perfect, I pray they'll always be perfect. And if you've never had any problem with them, I pray you never do. But I'll be frank and honest to admit with you that there were times when I was trying to bring up my daughter that I had some dark days. I didn't know all the answers to everything. I didn't know how to handle every situation. And I want to tell you there's not anything that can get one down any more than family problems. And you can just mark it down that when a husband and a wife are having micro problems, the home is beginning to go through a divorce, and the children are going to be left without a God-fearing mother or father, you can just put it down in somebody's heart in that family, they're down, and they're depressed, and they're going to be despondent. Just like men of God of old, we go through those days. And I'll tell you something else, brethren, is when we've got troubles in the church. I never did find any joy when our brethren divided. Never found any joy. And I guess the older I get, the least I really even want to be around a problem of where there's church fighting and brethren not speaking one to another. And I don't think I ever had anything to hurt me anymore when I first started preaching the gospel of Christ than to have brethren that I stood with, beginning in the preaching of the Word of God, to walk down the street and not even speak to you. And I want to tell you, brethren, that can get a man of God down. In my preaching life, I'll be honest to admit that there were times I was low, I was despondent, and it even went through my mind. Why not just give up preaching? Surely you can do something else. I believe that I can make a living somewhere else. And the thought would go through my mind, just forget it, give it all up. You don't have to take all the trials and the trouble that brethren give and go through all the battles you have to go through. Just give it up. And I'll be honest with you that when you have church problems and there's contentions among brethren, that it can be a most dangerous time because you get depressed. And also, you might even jot down in regard to that sickness or death within the family. I'll be honest, I don't know how you'd classify me as just having a soft heart or maybe being a little bit on the chicken side, as some of the people might call it, but when I get sick, I get down. I mean, I'm not fantastic that day, and you wouldn't want to come around me at all. And if I just don't feel good, and I don't want anybody whispering at the door, because then I begin to think I'm going to die, so I don't want anybody around doing that. And then when there's death in the family and my heart is bleeding, I don't want somebody telling me everything's just fine. When I lost my father or my mother or brother or sister or son or daughter, my heart bleeds. And I believe that under those conditions you can be down. And I believe that Paul was when he wrote the Philippian letter. But now then the question comes to our mind, how is it that you can be despondent and yet not give in to it? How is it that you can go through that time in life and not be down, not be out? How is it that you can go through without completely being destroyed? And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is telling the saints of God at Philippi. And I believe that's something that Robert Jackson needs, and I believe that every child of God needs it. First of all, if you have your Bibles, I want you to notice that Paul said, one way that you come out of that state is to remember that the trial I'm going through is for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at that statement in verse 12. For the furtherance of the gospel. He didn't say now for the advancement of praise of men or building large buildings. He said for the furtherance of the advancement of the gospel. Now, brethren, when it says the advancement of the gospel, that means for the cause of Christ. Paul said, even though I am in chains, it is giving me an opportunity to further the cause of Christ and preach the Word of God in places it can never be heard. Look at your Bibles, if you will, carefully in verse 13. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. What was evident to the palace guard? What was evident to these men that was watching Paul day in and day out? Two or three things. It was evident, first of all, that he was there because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul said, these guards understand that I'm here because of my faith in Christ. They understand in my conversation with the people that I talk to, they've heard every conversation I've made, and they understand that I'm here because of my relationship with Jesus. Look what he said. My chains are in Christ. Suffering many times opened the doors of opportunity to spread the Word of God. And Paul said, I'm allowed to preach in places I would have never been allowed to. Doors have been opened unto me. I don't know how many of the guards had been converted to Christ. I don't know how many of them went out and told somebody else about Jesus Christ. But I tell you, my friend, I cannot but be persuaded that when these men heard Paul talking about Christ and they heard Paul telling others about why he was there and what Christ meant to him and how he felt about the brethren at Philippi, I cannot but believe that these guards were touched by what the man of God said. And in some manner they went out and told others why the man was in jail. I'm sure that word went out through Rome that Paul is in prison. Why is he there? And these guards would say, I'll tell you why he's there. Because of his relationship to a man called Jesus, the Son of the living God. Sometimes when we have our problems and our trials and tribulations, we don't look at that as an advancement to further the cause of Jesus Christ. There's a statement made in the Bible that I've never been able to explain. I'm just not the scholar to do it. And there are a lot of verses in the Bible that I'm not the scholar to even touch. I just simply say I have faith in it. I believe it. Romans 8:28. When Paul said that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, I believe that. When a man loves God, regardless of what might happen in that man's life, he can still further the cause of Jesus Christ. I've had to learn that the hard way. I would get down, but I believe that when troubles came, we were motivated to go out and tell others about Christ. And I believe under those conditions, we had an opportunity to further the cause of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He said, I was able to talk to the guards. I was able to talk to other men and tell them about the Son of God. And he said, that's why I didn't quit. Or he might not have been able to have the large crowds. But he said, I'm trying to save souls. I'm trying to further the cause of Christ. And that's what I'm doing. I'm fearful that we've got some men, unless the crowds are there, they go the other way. When will we stop looking at crowds and look at souls? Paul said, I remained in the chains to further the cause of Christ, and I wanted the cause of Christ to spread, and that man of God took advantage of that. I believe that same principle can be carried out even in time of sickness or any other trouble we have in life. I had a brother-in-law that lived in Camden, South Carolina. I use him as an illustration, not because he's my brother-in-law, but because he was a God-fearing man. He was electrocuted with DuPont Company. But before he died, they had him in intensive care. And there's another man in the intensive care with him. And one of his sons came out crying. And he said, I want to tell you what the man said in the bed next to my daddy. He said, I want to tell you one thing. If I live to get out of here, I'm going to find out this man's faith. Because all the time he's been here, he's quoted scripture to me, and he's talked about Christ, and he's not talked about his condition. You know, sometimes we get so self-pitied that we fail to further the cause of Jesus Christ. Doors open unto us, gives us an opportunity to let others know of our faith in Christ. And Paul said, I'm not going to quit. I am going to take advantage of the opportunity to further the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he made another statement, and he said to the rest, I think the rest meant Rome. It spread out through Rome what he's going to do. He said, I'm going to tell others about Christ. They're going to hear about it. It went out to others in Rome about the fact that he was in chains because of his faith in Christ. Rome even began to hear about Christ as a result of this man being in prison. He wasn't in there complaining and griping and fuming and fussing. He was rejoicing because his imprisonment meant God's cause was furthered. And then he said in verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident of my chains, are much more bold to speak the word with fear. Or he said, the example of my suffering for the cause of Christ has given others courage. Have you ever been encouraged by others in what they do? Have you ever had someone to give you the strength and to encourage you and motivate you to stand up for that which is right? I've had other men of God to motivate me and encourage me and help me and pull me out of the bottom of it. To give me the courage and the strength to continue preaching the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. In the Galatian letter, chapter 6 and verse 2, a statement is made. Bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another burden. Help the brother that's in need. And when the saints at Philippi had helped Paul, that encouraged Paul. And now then Paul is encouraging them. And I believe, brethren, that we can encourage each other and build each other up and lift each other up. And that even in spite of trials and troubles and tribulations, we will not quit. And let me say a word to God-fearing elders. Elders have a grave responsibility. They spend many a night troubled about decisions to be made and what's best for the cause of Christ. And many times men who serve as elders in the house of God become despondent and discouraged. But don't quit. Because we need men with faith. We need men that in times of tribulation will react with their faith in God. And remember that the decisions you make will further the cause of Christ if they're in harmony with the will of God. Don't quit. React like the Apostle Paul did. And thank God that it furthered the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you two other things to keep in mind, and the lesson will be yours. Another thing that I've learned from the pages of God's Word in the book of Micah and other places is the fact there's only going to be a remnant of God's people anyway. So we ought not to be discouraged of us. All the way through the Word of God, it was a remnant that stood up for God. And I want to tell you something, brethren. We're still in the remnant. We're still going to be the minority group, regardless of what happens. God's people will be in the minority as a rule. And just because we're in the minority, we ought not to give up, but we ought to shoulder the responsibility and further the cause of Jesus Christ. The last verse I'd like to leave with you is Psalm 30 and verse 6. When the psalmist said, I shall not be moved. Why? Because I have the Lord at my right hand. You mark it down. At any time Robert Jackson quits, and any time you quit serving God, it's because we took our eyes off of God at our right hand. With Jesus at my right hand, I will never quit serving God.